When I was 18 or 19 years old, probably 19, Shelby and I had just been married a little while, my pastor, Brother J. Tamley Davis, was already an old man. He was about 60 or 61. I thought you'd like that. He asked me if I'd like to go with him to a meeting up in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I said, "We'd be glad to, Brother Tamley." And we're driving up, and, you know, talking a little bit. About the time we got close to Mount Airy, he said, "Don, son, did you ever hear my sermon on hands full of honey?" I said, "I don't think so, Brother Tamley." He said, "Would you like to hear it?" I said, "Well, that'd be great." So we went to service, big crowd of people, I guess 400 people or better. I'm sitting right down there where Jim is, and Tamley got up, and he said, "Now, tonight, by popular request, I'm going to preach my sermon on hands full of honey." That's a true story. I thought about trying it a few times, but never got up the nerve. While you're turning to Exodus chapter 34, let me give you Shelby's greetings. And I know sometimes you wonder why she's not with me. Frankly, I kind of have to force her to stay at home when I have a shorter trip. She goes with me everywhere I go and works with me in the office all day, every day, and then works when she gets home. And sometimes she needs to stay at home and do something else. So she's taking care of things that need to be taken care of, and she sends her greetings to you. Exodus chapter 34. I want to talk to you about a lamb and an ass. You're the ass. Now, for you folks who are genteel people and never been in the country and maybe raised up in that other part of the world where you don't know such things, I'm not talking about what you're sitting on. That's an animal. A lamb and an ass. Exodus 34. Throughout the Mosaic economy, every day, every single day, this is how the day began. They offered a lamb at the altar at God's tabernacle every day. When the day was done, this is how every day ended. They offered a lamb at the door of the tabernacle on God's altar. God said, "I will meet you to speak there unto thee." The only way God Almighty would meet with man was by a lamb offered in the place he ordained. The only way any man could approach to God was by a lamb offered in a place he ordained. And God fixed it so that every day, every man, woman, and child in Israel understood we begin with the lamb and we end with the lamb. And God will only deal with us in the lamb. Now, it is my prayer, if you came in here this morning with the glittering sword of divine justice hanging over your head, terrifying, you'll go out of this place today rejoicing in the free, full forgiveness in by the lamb. If it happened, it'll only be in a lamb. The Lord God Almighty took this lamb and gave it to the children of Israel, a sacrifice for a token, a sign. It was a sign upon the hand of the one who offered it and a sign in the eyes of the one who beheld it. And this is what he promised by that token. The Lord God said, "This is how you shall be sanctified by my glory. This is how you, the people I have chosen, the people I have called, this is how you shall be made holy, sanctified by my glory. Through the sacrifice of a lamb at the door of my house, before my throne, at my altar." What does he mean for us to understand by that? Does God mean for us to understand that the law given by Moses, everything required by God, the sacrifice and the sanctifying of the people and the tabernacle by this lamb, was all by God's glory and for God's glory? That's exactly what it means for us to understand. Everything portrayed in that tabernacle, everything about it, everything portrayed in that tabernacle portrayed that which would come to pass in time, in whom and by whom God would reveal his glory to all. His glory. What's that? His glory. The saving of our soul by his. The glory of God is the saving of sinners by the sacrifice of his son. Now look at Exodus 34, verses 19 and 20. In the second verse of Exodus chapter 13, God commands, "Sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, It is mine. But what about the unclean animal? God gave a very specific commandment forbidding that any unclean beast be offered to him. I won't have them. He makes two commandments that seem to contradict each other. If one's fulfilled, the other one cannot be. He demands that all the firstborn of every man and every beast in Israel be sanctified to him. Lord, he commanded. And yet he forbids offering anything to him that's unclean. That's a problem. That's a problem. How can such a law be fulfilled? How can all the firstborn be sanctified to the Lord and no unclean thing be offered to him? Well, God answers the question. Look here in Exodus 34, verse 19. All that openeth the matrix is mine, and every firstling among the cattle, whether ox or sheep, that is male, but the firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with the lamb. And if thou redeem him not, then shalt thou break his neck. All the firstborn of thy sons thou shalt redeem, and none shall appear before me empty. Now obviously, that which is spoken of here is a picture, a type. The reason God gave us all the laws, ceremonies, and rituals of the Old Testament scriptures were to point to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who would accomplish everything portrayed in those types and pictures in the Old Testament. Now, you don't have to look us up and read a text and say, now, there's that little word, the. What does that refer? Wonder what deep thing that is. You don't take the types and tear them apart and get all kinds of stuff out of them. You take the types and get them for what they're for. Do you know I carry in my wallet a picture of my grandchildren? If you look careful, you'll see some scratches on the picture. I've had it a long time. And you'll see some stuff in the background. I don't know what it is. I've never looked at them. But it's stuff in the background. And you can look at the picture and just get, oh, what's that? Good magnifying glass. What's that? If you do that, you're going to miss the picture. You're going to miss the picture. The types and the events of Old Testament scripture, like the parables of our Lord, are intended to show something. And that something is Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. That's what we're looking for. That's what the scriptures are all about. A few weeks ago, one of the newer men in our congregation, he's a man my age, but he's new to us. He was with me driving over to preach for Brother Todd a few weeks ago. And on the way home, he said, I've been reading Joel 2 about the young men seeing, having dreams, young women having vision, sons and daughters prophesying. So I've been wondering about that. And I said to him, Jimmy, let me help you. Don't be too much concerned about what all that's talking about. Don't be too much concerned about it. If you want to know what Joel was talking about, go over to Acts chapter 2 and read what Peter said. He said, boys, this is it. What was Joel talking about? Christ is king. He's poured out his spirit by virtue of his shed blood upon all flesh. And that's what it's about. Who cares about the fellow seeing dreams and visions and talking and such as that? But those things, you'll understand a little later. Oh, this is the fulfilling of the new covenant. And all her sons and daughters shall be taught of. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about Christ. The whole book of God is about Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now let me show you four things with regard to this lamb and this ass spoken of in Exodus 34. Number one, the ass, being an unclean thing, could not be accepted of God. And you and me, fallen men, being unclean, can never be accepted of God. Never. According to the law of God, no animal was considered clean except that which both divided the hoof and chewed the cud. And by that standard of the ceremonial law, every man is unclean. But the Lord God sacrificed a lamb, his own darling son, the Lamb of God, for chosen sinners, and made them all together clean. Now, I got to get that out first. This is the great wonder of grace, being redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, God's darling son. Every redeemed sinner, every sinner believing on the Son of God is clean, 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 without spot, without blemish, whitest. They've washed their garments white and made them clean in the blood of the Lamb. God Almighty, by his superabounding grace, has made us utterly clean by the sin atoning blood of his son, the Lord Jesus. Like the unclean ass, fallen man is incapable of acceptance with God, because we are all as, and our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We're unclean. This is not something that I have to convince you of. Unclean. You may pretend otherwise, but you're unclean. And you know, it's reason you have a tough time living with yourself. You're unclean in your heart. In your heart. People flippantly say, "The Lord knows my heart." You best understand he sure does. You're unclean in your heart. That's my dear friend Claudia Howard, sweet lady. I've never seen her do anything wrong. And I've known her for 110 years. I'm telling you, now Milton may have, I doubt it, but I never saw her do anything wrong. And she's as unclean as the vilest harlot. Did you hear me? Unclean at heart. There's nothing but uncleanness in you. Unclean in everything. Unclean in every thought of your mind. Full of sin. That's what we are by nature. That means that it's impossible for any man or any woman ever to do anything acceptable to God. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? You just can't do it. You just can't do it. You can fish around in that garbage can all you want to, and you just can't pull anything clean out of that. You just can't do it. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? That means you can't obey God's law. You can't do good. You cannot justify yourself. You cannot atone for your sin. You cannot redeem yourself. People these days like to talk about that. I believe in redemption. I believe man can redeem himself. Most folks think that nonsense, but it's just not so. You can't atone for your sin. Many years ago, my parents were visiting with us in Danville. They're both gone now. And right before they left, Dad started to leave the door, walk out the kitchen door into the garage, and he said, "Who's still living over Junction City then?" He said, with tears running down his cheeks, he said, "Son, I hope somehow before I die to be able to make up with God for all I've done." And I said to him, with tears bursting from my heart, "Dad, would to God you'd learn to quit trying. You can't make up with it. You're unclean. You're unclean." Stay with the image given in our text. A man could take his filthy jackass and wash him and tie it and put some cologne on him and make him smell real good, but he's still a jackass. He could put him in the field with the sheep, and the jackass live those sheep, but he's still a jackass. That doesn't change him at all. You can change all kinds of things outwardly. If you wanted to, by some monstrous deed, I guess you could even make his feet to be cloven. Just cut them. Just cut them apart there so the hoof is cloven. And he'd look clean by standing, but he's still a jackass, and he's still unclean. Man cannot be made clean by religion and by reformation and by works and even by good training, not even by raising them in great discipline. Man cannot be made clean by anything a man does, not himself or anyone else. Job said, "If I justify myself, my own mouth would..." is the second thing. Just because the jackass is unclean, God won't relinquish his claim. He's still God. The firstborn of every creature, male or female, is mine. It's mine. Sanctify unto me the firstborn. Whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both the man and beast, is mine. The Lord God would not receive the jackass. He refused to accept the ass because it was unclean. But he said, "It's mine. I won't give it up." God claimed all as his own. Nothing has changed. God still claims his right. You're his. In his hand. He can and will do with you whatever he pleases. The sinner can't be accepted by God, and he can't serve God. Still, God's claims upon us. He still demands that we, unclean though we are, be sanctified. That word means made holy. God demands the same thing of you as he demanded of Abraham. He demands the same thing of me as he demanded of his servants in the past. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. As he which hath called you is holy, be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Pastor, that takes in everything. Be ye holy in every part of your lives, because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Now, I know what preachers and churches and religious nonsense do with that. Be as holy as you can. That's not what he said, because that's unclean. He said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." There are many who tells us that God does not require more from man than he can perform. And that man is not responsible for what he's not able to do. But that's simply not true. God commanded Abraham, and he commands us, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. That's all it requires. In our text, the law demands that the ass either be redeemed or his neck be broken. And the same is true in this gospel day. The gift of God is eternal life, and the wages of sin is death. Your inability to pay your debt doesn't relinquish the debt. Your inability to obey God doesn't relieve you of your responsibility. Can you imagine a fella standing in a court of law? Well, these days I can almost imagine it, but it's laughable. Standing in a court of law, and he looks at the judge and says, Your Honor, I have such a terrible propensity to steal that I find it irresistible. I just cannot help stealing, robbing, thieving every time I have the opportunity. And since that's my nature and I can't help it, then I can't be charged with any crime before the law. Yeah. What stupidity. Oh, yes. Your inability doesn't excuse you. Your inability doesn't relieve you of your responsibility. The sinner's inability to trust Christ as his Savior and Lord doesn't relieve him of responsibility. I'm fully aware that the folks who say, you can't preach man's responsibility, God's absolute sovereignty. I reckon I can. God does. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Let me show you. Man's inability is not his misfortune. It is his sin. His inability is not his misfortune. It's his sin. Listen to how God speaks in the opening of the book of wisdom. Proverbs 1:23. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. What a word. God says, you turn at my reproof. I'll pour out my spirit unto you. He didn't say this will be my response. It'll just look like it. You turn, and you've already been turned. Turn at my reproof. I'll pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refuse. Watch this. I stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. Is that what it reads? I stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But you said it not all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. Some of you have been hearing the gospel all your life. You've been blessed of God with parents who brought you to sit under his word all your life. And you sit and stick your fingers in your ears. I won't hear. Don't you think God doesn't hear? You're a yin. Here's the result. I also will laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as a desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own. If you go to hell, you're just going to hell because that's what you chose. Nobody goes to hell accidentally. Eat the fruit of their own way. Destroyed by their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them. And the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth, I stretched out my hand. Come unto me, all you that I'll give you. I won't have that. Oh, but whoso hearkeneth shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. The ass could not be accepted, but the ass still belonged to God. And fallen man cannot be received as he is, sinful, guilty, and unclean. But God says, I won't relinquish my claim. Redeem the ass, sanctify it to me, or break its neck. If you will not be sanctified to God, he'll condemn you. If you refuse to believe on the Son of God, he'll send you to hell. I know we live in this generation, everybody does everything they can to run away from Scripture. There's some folks today, I have folks call me, write to me every now and then, about every week anymore. How can you believe in hell and judgment, damnation, because Christ died? That's how I believe. To deny eternal punishment is to deny the need of satisfaction, to deny the justice of God, and to declare that Christ died for nothing. What stupidity. All right, here's the third thing. I want you to see in our text that the Lord God met the difficulty. God says, the firstborn is mine. Man or beast is mine. I won't relinquish my claim, even if it's an unclean animal. I'll still say, this is mine. Redeem it or kill it. And the Lord God met the difficulty by providing a substitute for the ass. God met the difficulty by providing a substitute for the ass. God met the difficulty by providing a substitute for the ass. The most wondrous thing in the world is substitutionary redemption. Redemption by the blood of Jesus Christ, God's darling son. Oh, anything profound, more glory. I can't think of anything comparably wondrous. God sent his own son into the to suffer and die in the room instead of sinners such as we are, that we might be made the righteousness of God and embraced by God. Embraced by God forever. Perfect, holy God. Holy as God himself. Man, we're told, is like a wild ass's colt. He snuffs at the... That's our nature. Now, we get the idea when we see, what was that movie? Two mules, Sarah, and that, what do you call it? Nun, riding on that donkey. They're such nice, gentle animals. well, you see the result of a lot of it. But that's not exactly the kind of animals they are. Some of you may have gotten some. Get them from the federal government. My brother-in-law keeps them with his cattle all the time. They keep coyotes away. They keep coyotes away. How come? Because they're mean. They're mean. And they're stubborn. And they bite. And they kick. And they're dirty. That pretty well describes a jackass. That pretty well describes. And the only way the jackass can be accepted of God is by blood atonement. And the only way sinner can be accepted of God is by the precious blood of God's Son. By the doing and dying of the Lamb of God. The jackass... He's spoken of as a wild ass's colt because he's wild. And the redeemed sinner comes to believe on the Son of God. If today you believe him, it will be the result of his work of grace for you and in you. Called a work of almighty, omnipotent, irresistible grace. When I first moved to Danville, we had a couple in the congregation who raised thoroughbred show horses. They had a 5-time world champion Palomino drop dead one day. I hadn't been pastor very long, and I told Shelby, I said, I'm just dead sure she's going to want me to go over there and preach a funeral for that the horse. I'm not going to do it. But they dropped dead. And they explained to me how they trained their horses. You know, when I was a boy, I was bigger than all my cousins, and I lived in the city, but they lived in the mountains of North Carolina, and they always had ponies. And they weren't big enough to ride them. They'd throw them off. Most of the time, they were Shetland ponies. Man, when I was 12 years old, I'd get on a Shetland pony, and my feet would drag the ground. And I could break them. I could break them. If it had been a big horse, I would have handled it. I'd nothing about that. I could break those Shetland ponies. Before I would go, they could all ride them. How'd you do it? You ride them till you ride them down. You just ride them down till they got no strength left. You just ride them down. Brother Bob Lips told me, said, so no, you don't do that with a horse. You won't break his spirit. I want to show horse. We gentle. That's not how God deals with or with a wild ass's colt. He throws on you the saddle of his omnipotent grace and rides you down the dust until at last you can't resist and you believe on the Son of God. You came in here this morning, your fist shoved in God's face. I will not believe! And now all of a sudden you... What happened? Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and calls to approach it. Who do not believe? They are the wild ass's colt, in whom God hath blinded the minds of them, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of God, should shine forth in their heart, in the face of Jesus. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, shined in our heart, to give the light of the knowledge of the Son of God, the knowledge of the glory of God. Oh, may God do. I urge you then, believe on the Son of God. He died that we might never die. He was cursed that we might be forever blessed. He was rejected that we might be forever accepted. He was despised that we might forever be approved. He was forsaken that we might never be forsaken. He was made sin that we might forever be the righteousness of God. Wonder why anybody would rebel against that cause they're unclean. A wild ass bucking and snarling at the wind, rebelling against God. That's called If you refuse to believe, you will not have God's redemption. You will not have God's Savior. There's another thing. There's nothing. If thou redeem him not, then shalt thou break his neck. There's no alternative. It's salvation or damnation, heaven or hell. Faith in Christ or everlasting in separation from what is hell. I don't want to know. It's a pit with no bottom. It's darkness, no light. It's overwhelming despair. Despair with its hatred, utter hatred. Hatred with no love, no mercy, no goodness. Death, separation from God, full consciousness that it's so. Isolation, utter isolation. All alone forever amid untold tears, where the word of a man's guilty conscience, fully aware, gnaw all the and the fire of that fully awakened guilty conscience burns and cannot be, because the breaking of the neck will never make you. The breaking of the neck will never make the ass clean. That can only be done by the precious. God give you faith. Oh, God give you to believe on his of hell. Well, preacher, I haven't heard any of you sovereign grace folks talk like that in a long time. Time you did. Believe or be damned. Come to Christ or go to hell. And I want you to come to Christ. I want you to know. Most wondrous, glorious, blessed, happiest thing in the world. Forgiveness by the blood of the Lord.